The book of Genesis chapter 26 has been on my heart all week long. I want to begin reading in verse number 12. We realize that Isaac is the promised son of Abraham. We're going to read about Isaac's life here. The Bible says in verse 12, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." Hey, if you've been blessed of God this morning, say amen.
Amen.
"And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." And Abimelech — now let me take time out to say Abimelech is the king of the Philistines. "And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there." That's just really down the road, just a little spell. He's still in the land of the Philistines. "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." I want to preach on this thought, the Lord being our helper. It's time to clean out the wells. Father, I pray now you'd help us as we preach the word. I pray, Father, you'd just touch each hearer and bless us with your power, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The man Isaac was blessed of God indeed. And in fact, he was so blessed of God that the Philistines began to be jealous of him, or they began to envy him. I want us to see, first of all, this morning in this passage, there is a truth to be treasured. What is that truth, Preacher Darren? There's a memory those wells have brought up. Because Abraham dug those wells years and years before. You remember Abraham. I'm certain that Isaac thought about this, that Abraham dwelt with his father. And God said to Abraham, "I want you to leave your father's house and go to a country that I am going to show you." And Abraham got up and began to follow God. And God said, "I'm going to bless you mightily indeed. I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you." And Abraham went out and he began to work for God. And we know that there was a man by the name of Lot that went along with him. And Lot and Abraham began to prosper. Things began to grow. They began to be blessed, and blessed indeed. And we realized that finally the land couldn't hold all the people and all the cattle there. The herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham began to strive together. Abraham said, "Lot, I'm going to let you choose. If you want to go the left, I'll take the right. If you want to take the right, I will take the left." And Lot looked towards the well-watered plain of Jordan, and he pitched his tent there, said, "That's what I'm going to choose." And when he pitched his tent, he pitched it towards Sodom. No doubt this morning there are many within our church body that lean and have pitched their tent towards Sodom and this old world's ways. That's not my message. Abraham said, "I'll take the other side. You've chose the well-watered plain of Jordan. I'll choose this old hill country then. It's dry, it's barren. There's no grass there for his cattle. There's no wells there for his family. What on earth are they going to do?" So Lot gets all of his and heads towards the well-watered plain. And Abraham turns around and God says, "Abraham, I'll be with you. I want you to look to the north. And I want you to look to the south. And I want you to look to the east. And I want you to look to the west. And as far as you can see, I'm going to give all that to you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I'm going to curse those that curse you." Hey, I want to say this morning, there's a truth to be treasured. Do you realize this morning that our nation, the United States of America, has been blessed because she's been good to Israel. She's been blessed because she's been good to the engrafted Israel. Preacher, what do you mean engrafted? I'm talking about the church of the living God, the redeemed, the saved. Hey, the wells of the United States are its churches. Where they still preach the Word of God and still teach the Word of God and still sing the praises of God. Amen. And if you look around, you'll see there is a truth that you and I need to treasure. Second of all, I want you to see in this same text that there is a transgression to be triumphed. The Bible says that the Philistines envied Isaac. You realize something this morning? Here's the truth for you. You'll never envy someone that's less than you. Amen, Preacher Darren, that's the truth. The Philistines envied Isaac because Isaac was greater than them. And why was Isaac greater? Because God's blessing were on his life and the enemy hated the blessing of God. The devil's crowd hates the churches. The devil's crowd hates the United States of America and the liberty she's given to its churches to thunder and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're jealous of it. Now let me give you a little illustration. It's a poor one at best. About jealousy. In the meadowland, there was a beautiful pasture and it was fenced off. And inside the fence, there was a donkey and a beautiful big fine horse. And the wolves come underneath the barbed wire fence there, and the donkey spoke to him and said, "Where are you going?" They said, "We're crossing the meadow." He said, "While you cross, why don't you go run that big fine horse out of the pasture?" And they said, "Don't you like the horse?" He said, "Not really." "Oh, does he mistreat you?" "No, he's good to me." "Does he eat all of your grass?" "No, there's plenty." "Does he drink all of your water?" "No, there's plenty to drink." "Then why do you want to get rid of that big fine horse if he's good to you?" "Well," he said, "when people come down the highway and they see him and compare me to him, they see what an ugly, scrawny donkey I really am and what a big, fine horse he is. My thinking is that if we could get rid of that big, fine horse, everybody would know what a fine, scrawny, flop-eared donkey I really am." And that crowd that gets jealous and gets worldly, that's trying to stop up the wells, they ain't nothing but a kicking and a braying donkey's flop-eared, running around, scrawny, ain't got no relationship with God to speak of, and they want to run off anybody else that does. Because they're afraid they'll be found out that they're not faithful and not committed to the things of God. Amen. I want to say this about a donkey. I ain't never been kicked by a donkey that I was in front of.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When I think about this transgression, the enemy came and their presence, when they saw Isaac and how great he was, they envied him. What was their purpose? To stop up the wells. They're spiteful. They've got an evil intent. You realize there are people whose only purpose in the church is to stop up the well and keep anybody from getting any spiritual water. Thank God. I want you to know this morning that the Philistines had a purpose to stop up the wells and to keep them from drinking that life-flowing, nourishing water which would change their lives forever. They had hoped, if we can get him discouraged, we can just move him out of here. I'm going to tell you what, there's been a lot of folks in my life that's tried to stop up my well. They have tried to stop up your well. They've tried to discourage you. They've tried to downtrod you. They'll encourage you through discouragement. Their thought of help is to give water to a drowning man so they can finish you off. That's what their hope is. And the king Abimelech said, "Move from us, for you're greater than we are. Just get out of here." Hey, there's a transgression that you and I need to overcome. And that is, we must recognize the enemies want to stop up our well. The world wants to stop your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thirdly, this morning, and I'll be done, and I know you'll say glory to God for that, Preacher Darren. But there is a transaction that must be trumpeted. What is that transaction? That Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. You see, the infidels and the agnostics and the atheists and the skeptics and the modernists hate the blessings of God that you have. And they're going to do anything they can to stop it. You hear me right now? That simply means the wells must be cleaned out. Granddaddy had a spring. And oftentimes that spring would get stopped up by old corruption such as leaves and sticks and stones. And you know what we'd do in the spring house down there? We'd move all that junk out of the way. Just in a little bit, that water would be real muddy. And as that water began to flow again, things began to clear up. Some of the best water I ever got and ever drunk in my life was Grandpa's spring water over in Madison County. And I want to say I've got a Heavenly Father who has a well, who says, I want you to clean out the well. It's got stopped up with pollutants and leaves and dead dry things. Hey, at the schoolhouse, they had a one-room schoolhouse, and these mean boys said to each other, we've got a well at school. I tell you what we need to do, fellas. We could get school canceled tomorrow if we could make sure there's no water. So they worked all night. They threw earth and stones and rocks and they big old chunks of wood and they threw down in the well. When they all come back to school the next day, them boys said, we'll be out in just a little bit. You just watch and see because we've stopped up the well. The teacher lowered down the bucket into the well and kept hitting something, and couldn't get no water. It was all that junk down there that they had thrown in, the earth. So they called this feller, went and seen him on a horseback, and said, won't you know our well stopped up? He said, what you know is a well cleaner. He come there to the well and he got these fellas and he said, now won't you tie this rope around me? And they lowered him down into the well. And after he got down there, he started standing in the well and he took one of them chunks of wood and he said, pull it up, boys. Little by little, they pulled that chunk out, lowered down another rope. This time they put a little basket on it. Here's some big old rocks. Take it out of here, boys. And little by little, they worked and worked and worked until they got the well cleaned out. Then he tied the rope back around himself. They pulled him out. He said, give it an air. And in 1 hour, the well started gushing again. Let me say something to you, church. There ain't nothing wrong with the well. It's the junk we put in there. This old world wants to make sure your family is not in fellowship at the house of God on Sunday night, on Wednesday night. And he'll do everything to get you distracted on Sunday morning. He'll get you looking at your watch. Oh, Lord, it's after 12 o'clock. I need to go to the steakhouse. No, I tell you what you need to do, bless God. You need to get your well cleaned out. There's a transaction that needs to be trumpeted. Let me tell you something. There was an old boy. He was a police chief in his community. They were having revival there. His daughter and wife went to the service and the little girl got saved. She came home that night and told her daddy, and he didn't really want to hear about it. You see, he was a professing Christian, just not a possessing Christian. Not practicing what he once believed, amen? She said to her daddy, she said, will you go to church with me tomorrow? He said, I ain't got time for that stuff. I'm out protecting the community. I'm out here to provide safety. I ain't got time to go to church. The next morning, she got up. She said, Daddy, will you go to church with me? He said, no, honey, I've told you I'm too busy. He buttoned all of his brass buttons, took off for his job, and as he's heading out the front door, she ran in front of him, and she put her hands over the door, and she said, Daddy, if you won't go to church with me tonight, you're going to have to step over my body. And she laid down over the threshold of that door. He cursed, and he said, I am not going, and he stepped over her. But the Holy Ghost brought conviction immediately. When he got to the door and put the key in the door and opened the car door, he felt like as he opened it, he was pulling out his little girl's body. He went down to the post office and put his key in the post office box and opened it. And when he pulled out the mail, felt like he was pulling out his little girl's body.
I mean, all day long in every situation that he got into, he saw his little girl and his action of stepping over her and her desire for him to go to church. He worked all day trying to get busy, hoping it would go away. But the more he hoped it would, the worse it got. Finally, church time started. He heard the bell of the church ringing in the community. The revival meeting had started. The choir had begun to sing. The congregation began to sing. They'd received an offering. The special singers had sung. And now the man of God was preaching. And finally, the police chief said, "I can't take it no more." He threw open the back doors of that church, took his hat off. Right while that preacher was preaching, he made his way down the aisleway to the altar. He grabbed that preacher mid-sentence while he's preaching, pulled him down there and said, "I've got to get right with God. My girl's asked me to come to church. I've told the church I saved and I really believe I am, but I'm not living like it. And I pray that God would forgive me. I just need to get my well cleaned out today." Amen. He got right with God and he stood up. He looked over the congregation, and in the very back was the biggest criminal in town. He went right to where he was. He put his hand in his hand, shook hands with him. He said, "You're a criminal because of me." He said, "I took bribes from your family to let you go free rather than teach you about the things of God." And he said, "I just got right with God." And he got on his knees and he said, "Son, I want to ask you, would you forgive me of the way I treated you and your family? And would you, when you forgive me, would you let God save you, son? That's really all that you need." The old boy jumped up and hugged the police chief. He took off front of the altar, and the preacher met him, and the old boy got saved. While he was getting saved, the police chief walked over to this section over here and saw a girl that run a prostitution house. He looked at her and he said, "Honey, I know the business that you run, and the reason you do is because I was the first person that used my power and my brass buttons that I might influence your life, and you are running that filthy business because of me, and I've allowed it. Would you forgive me? And if you'd forgive me, would you let God save you?" God can still save a prostitute or a drug dealer or an alcoholic. Would you come and let Jesus save you? And she jumped up and hugged him and said, "I want to get saved now." She ran to the old-fashioned altar. Let me tell you something. 19 people in that service got saved when one man got his well cleaned out. I want to turn to the Psalms, the 51st division of the Psalms. We meet a man named David who is guilty of adultery, sexual immorality. I want to tell you what David's relationship with God was hindered. He was a sweet psalmist, a man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 51, you hear him say in verse number 10, "Created me a clean heart." You know what he's wanting? "God, I want you to clean out my well." "Created me a clean heart." He says, "Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me." Verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." When what happens? When you and I get the well cleaned out and we get right with God, hey, joy will come again. Anybody this morning, while there's up a singing, what was hindering you from shouting? You got something in your well that's damming it up, stopping it up, and hindering you from sweet fellowship with the Lord. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Please turn there. "Preacher, it's been such a sweet service. Now you're telling me that I might have some worldly junk in my life that's stopping up my well." Hey, Jesus said that out of us would flow rivers of living water. Jeremiah 2:13. "For my people," who? The sinners, the lost? No, God said my people. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to spiritual Israel. He's talking to the church. My people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken the fountain. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. You try to substitute something. Number two, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what a cistern is? It's where somebody digs a hole on the ground, maybe puts some rocks around it and a little mud around it, and you're trying to catch groundwater, maybe from a downspout, maybe from a gutter, maybe just from rainwater. But the Lord said, your cisterns are even broken and they can't hold water. You've been dependent on somebody else's joy to satisfy you. What if a preacher preaches hard? I might get straightened out. If the preacher gets happy, maybe I'll get happy. If they sing that old song there, maybe that'll encourage me. Let me tell you something. Your cisterns are broken. But God's put inside you a well that springs up in the everlasting life. And the problem right now that you're having is you've forsaken the fountain of living water. That well, woo, is an underground, living, flowing stream. There are situations in your life. There are hurts, discouragements, and things going on. And it's good that we get right about those things. But I want to ask you, is there somebody here to say, tell you what, Preacher Darren, there is some junk stopping up my well, and the enemy has planted it there. In fact, I know about it, and I've been okay with it being there, but no more. And I wonder if there's somebody here, you'd say, I want to clean out the well. Lord, would you lower down Jesus and the Holy Ghost to clean out the well? I want to be broken about my sin. I want to be broke about my fellowship. I want to be broke about my faithfulness. Hey, would you come this morning?
It's hard to believe He still loves me. My tears, you understand.